Yes, good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment. Welcome to Lecture Hall 1. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And as it has always been the case, this is the time that we discuss about business matters, we discuss about economic matters, and we look ahead, particularly regarding national and also international development. This is the platform that we discuss, various affairs, but everything that is related to governance, related to lawmaking, related to decision, political decisions, and also what is happening in the Namibian economy. We also look at what is happening at the global front. And it has always been, a pleasure, particularly when we engage in these economic discussions. We are always indicating to you that as long as the country is where it is today, we will continue to have these kinds of engagement, this kind of constructive criticism, and we look at what we can do to make sure that we advance the development of this country, to make sure that Namibia is where it needs to be. And in our general discussion, before we go particularly to the nitty-gritty of things, in our general discussion, we are always trying to make sure that, we look at where the world is going, actually. Where are we standing at the global arena? Where are we standing at the global arena? And what are the countries with economic, military power and influence are saying? And also, how can we relate to this country? So that's why when we bring about the real conversation at Business and Economics Forum, we start from the top class or the upper level. What is the direction of tariffs, for example? What is the relationship between a global superpower? What is the impact of multilateralism, particularly now when the world is moving at a different pace, where economic regrouping as seen with we are able to see the Bretton Woods Institution, World Bank, IMF. On the other side, then you see the emergence of institution like BRICS, which is becoming so influential. See the rise of China, and also the interaction of countries like Iran and Russia. That's why we are saying, before we come to global agenda, before we look at the global agenda, those are some of the things that we need to see. Then we look at SDGs. We only have 4 years before the realization, or before we start reporting about the way are we in terms of sustainable developmental goal, where the world has planned to be, and scale it down to African continental, Agenda 2063. We have a continental agenda, and through that we have flagship program of African Continental Free Trade Area. Then you come down to Namibia. Where is Namibia? What are we saying about our national development plans? And where are we standing in terms of that? That's why we are always indicating to you that this program is it's a multi-dimensional program directed to economic affairs. So that's why we are saying the economy of human being throughout civilization, the economy of human being has always been at the center of human interaction. It has always been at the center of human interaction, because in the beginning of history, through civilization, there has always been scarcity of resources. There has always been trade. There has always been influence to those who have power and resources. And there has always been a distribution of resources, regulations based on properties, trade. We can go deep down to slavery. Those are economic motivated agenda. And development in general. That's why we are always saying this is your discussion. This is the discussion that we need to bring on. And these are some of the things that we always talk about at this business and economic segment program. Interestingly, before we go to what we have on the table, we are always indicating to you that for you to be a very good citizen who understands where the country is going in terms of the economy, in terms of trade, in terms of global relations, in terms of internal and external affairs, in terms of policies, and all the happenings in the country which are related to bread and butter issue in terms of food security, always need to make sure that you follow Eagle FM Namibia, follow us in our social media platform, follow Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook, follow us on X, follow us on Instagram, and also follow us on LinkedIn, because that is the only way that we are going to update you. That is the only way that we are also going to give you right on time information and you'll be able to expand your research based on that. Interestingly, we also have our e-paper. We have the Villager newspaper. The Villager newspaper is an e-paper which is coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And that e-paper is where we discuss about food security. We discuss about trade. We discuss about, mining sector. We discuss about relationships of the country with other country. We discuss about general economic principles and look at investment and also opportunities, particularly in emerging industries. We look at issues of green hydrogen. We look at oil and gas. And we look at issues of technology, look at areas of cyber crimes and infrastructure and everything that is related to human development. Because we are saying for us to work out what need to be worked out, particularly when it's regarding human development agenda. We are saying that development is not complete when you have good and strong infrastructure, when you have GDP, which is growing every year. But when it's coming to human development, your people are not able to be served. Your people do not have financial capacity. Your people do not have access to the resources. That's why we are saying the total development of individual is based on the ability of a human beings also to be able to make a financial contribution, or be able to make to be participant in economic activities of the country, either is formal or informal sector, either is at the professional level, either is at the business level, or either is we talk about it at the non-governmental level. And so for you to get content of all this, make sure that you follow, like the Villager newspaper, subscribe to the Villager newspaper, so that you can be able to have that content. If you are a researcher, you are a student of international relations, you are a student of economics, you are a student of development, this is your go-to-go program. It's your go-to-go program. This is where we discuss all those issues. This is where we give you tips. This is where we give you guidance. And this is also the time or the platform where constructive criticism is required, constructive criticism is encouraged. That's why we are always indicating to you that your contribution matters, because we believe that for us to build the institution and governance structures, we don't necessarily need people who are only saying, yes, David is right, but we also need those who are saying, no, David, here you are not right. Here you are right, but you are supposed to do this. That's why the platform is for educating one another. The platform is for giving other information. And the platform is our real platform to make real discussion. So that's why we are always indicating to you that you can contribute, you air your opinion, and be a very good citizen who understand economic insight, you know economic intelligence, and you'll be able to make those long-term strategic economic decisions and understand where the country is coming from and indeed where the country is going. So apart from the Villager newspaper, you can download the Eagle FM app. There are always those who are asking to say, Eagle FM Namibia, where are you? We are not be able to be connected to you. We are not be able to be connected to you. Or we are not being reached by the frequency. What we are indicating to you is that in the context or in the situation that the frequency is not able to reach you, in the context that the frequency is not going to reach you, you don't need to worry, because we have an alternative way of communicating with you. We have an alternative way of you accessing programs which are on air by making sure that you download the Eagle FM app. Go to Play Store, go to App Store, download the Eagle FM app. The moment you download the Eagle FM app, when you just open it like that, you'll be able to listen to the programs which are on air. And apart from listening to the program which are on air, you can also be able also to listen to the previous programs that you have missed, such as, you just go to the place where it's written podcast, go to podcast and access those previous shows that when they were happening or when they were live, you were busy doing something of equal importance, or you were just out with work. You can still catch up with accessing our open archive. Access our open archive, go to podcast, then you get those information. The other thing is also that you can access our program through online. Just type in Eagle FM Namibia. When you type in Eagle FM Namibia, you can be able to access those information. You can be able to access those information you can be able to listen to the programs which are on air, and the same time you can also look at the podcast. And yeah, the other thing they are always we are always indicating to you that the world has changed so fast to that extent that people are now using apps, people are now using advancement or advanced technology to solve their problems, because technology came to make sure that our life is more easier and that there are better and smart ways of doing things. So there is Imba app. Imba app is an app that is a digital version of a hymn book. It's a digital version of a hymn book. That's why we are always indicating to you that if you are, you can be a pastor, you can be an ordinary citizen who you are required to sing from a hymn book. Let me say you are called to a graduation ceremony, you are called to a graduation party, you are called to a birthday or a wedding, your friend is getting married, and or maybe it's unfortunate life events such as funeral, but you are required to sing along with other people. So what you can do, if you don't have a hymn book, you don't need to scratch your head, because we got you. That's why we say whoa, we got you there with Imba app. When you want to access a digital version of a hymn book, just go to your Play Store, download Imba app, then that blue app, when you download it, you will be able to have access to the digital version of the hymn book. Either it's in Oshiwambo, that is your Ehangano book, either it's in English, in Afrikaans, Ocherero, Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages. So download Imba app, make your life easy, so that we can imba together, and you make your life more easier. So that's why we are indicating to you that that is the only way that you make your life more easier. So for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment program with me, David Shombe. We are here from 1800 hours to 1900 hours. And this is your go-to-go program that we discuss about business, we discuss about economics, we discuss about opportunities and development in general. With the business and economic segment, and what we have on the table today we are looking at digital infrastructure, particularly in terms of banking and also financial inclusion. We are looking at financial inclusion, particularly to an ordinary Namibian. And our discussion for today is motivated by three documents. The first one is NDP. That is, of course, NDP 6, National Development Plan number 6 of 2025 to 2030. Which is indicating that by 2030, Namibia is part of global digital economy, and it will improve access to technology from 28 to 70%. Now, another document also which is motivating our discussion for today is the Namibia Financial Sector Transformation Strategy 2025 to 2035, and also World Bank Global Index, a report on financial inclusion. Now, when we look at the content and context of the financial inclusion in Namibia, when we look at what is being reported, particularly by our central bank, what is being reported particularly to by our SMEs, what we are seeing, and also what you are aiming to do, then we want to find that balance, particularly when you talk about financial inclusion, particularly when you talk about financial inclusion in the world of digitalization, and also putting in mind the challenges that the country is facing and how we can navigate that. Now, when the government is indicating that Namibia by 2030 will be part of global digital economy, and that means that there will be an increment in access of digital technology by an ordinary Namibian. There will be an increment in access of digital technology by an ordinary Namibian, and also digital infrastructure that is indeed improving access to technology from 28 to 70. Then the question that we are asking ourselves is that how can access to technology improve national development? How can access to technology improve national development? And where are we standing in terms of integrating technology to our developmental plan and integrating technology to our personal and also professional growth? Because ask yourself this question. How many people, we have been discussing about this thing, about AI, about data science. We've been discussing these things about robotics. Look at your institution. Look at your even public sector or private sector. How many of your workforce are able to understand technology? Not only open and closing a computer, but understanding technology, understanding the pro and cons of technology, particularly when you are coming to work-related activities. How many of you can be able to say with confidence, I can use a computer professionally, particularly in the Namibian workforce? Sometimes you can go to government and you see the people that are working there. Then you see a person typing an email. Then you ask yourself, why service delivery is at this rate? How is our understanding of technology? Now, that is a basic. That is a basic. Now, apart from that, how is our understanding of a digital world? How do we integrate what we do in a digital platform? How many of SMEs have, understand the digital version of things? How many of SMEs have a website? How many of SMEs are able to market and trade online? How many of SMEs have access to internet? And how does this impact the development of that community where that SME is situated? Think about this. Go to a rural area. Go to a rural area. Look at pushing factors of people from rural area to towns and cities. And also look at what impact does it have to expansion of SMEs. How can technology be used to expand the operationalization of SMEs at the edge of the country, at the periphery of development, at deep down villages? How many of these people have access to internet? Because when we look at infrastructure like network tower, we think when you are connected online, everybody is connected online. Look, let me give you an example of what happened in South Africa, particularly last year when there was this national elections. What happened shocked a lot of people. Apart from politics of things, is when the politics was so extended where everybody was debating online. Everybody was liking, everybody was, during those campaigns, everybody was liking and all those things. Then we have seen that, at one point EFF, which is the opposition party in South Africa, has filled to the full capacity, the FNB stadium in South Africa, with I think the capacity beyond 80,000 people. And people thought, wow, this is so great, and I think EFF will take over one day, or maybe it's coming an official position. Look what happened when election results came out. People were so shocked. People were so shocked because people thought when they are looking at things online, everybody is online. And understand me, South Africa has more than 50 million people. And that is not even a quarter of the whole population. And because of this perception, we think that when we have access, everybody has access. Now, this is also where we also need to ask our questions to say, how can private sector, government, NGOs prioritizing infrastructure development, particularly technological infrastructure, that will in itself become an enabler to financial inclusion, particularly to the adults and also those who are able to access funds to do either do business, either accessing funds through salary, accessing funds through investment, or accessing fund through a transfer of those funds. Because in the current world that we are living in where people are looking at the fifth industrial revolution, where you know, digitalization is so high and also complicated to understand, particularly to those who don't take it in their time to learn how the machines are working, to learn how the digital world is working, to learn the presence, the necessity of the presence at the digital world. That is exactly where we are coming from. Now, coming to the context for today, when we look at financial inclusion, when we look at financial inclusion, there is a report by World Bank. World Bank is one of those international institutions, part of the Bretton Woods institutions. And World Bank, they always release studies. They are always giving reports. And these reports which are being presented, these are content-based reports based on the research, which are going to give you, or they are giving you, a global picture, a regional picture, and you see how you can integrate or how you can relate to this report. Because if you have to get it on that content, it is stated that World Bank Global FIDEX Database Report of 2025 on connectivity and financial inclusion in the digital economy indicated that ownership of financial account globally increased from 5%, or increased by 5% rather, between 2021 and 2024. On top of this, it also further noted that worldwide, there is an increment of adults owning accounts with financial institutions or mobile own, which is now at 79%. That is now between 2021 and 2024. As it has increased, as in 2021, it was 74% of adults worldwide. Now it's 79% of adults worldwide who own accounts. Now, in terms of financial inclusion, in terms of increment, in terms of numbers, you'll be able to see that the world is moving fast, and we are seeing a lot of adults owning accounts. Then the question that you need to ask yourself is not only ending there. Is owning an account means that there is something in an account, or means that you can afford to maintain that account, or you own an account which is on minus, or you own an account which is just there at your name? And what does it mean about your understanding of how accounts is working, and understanding of how you operate with finance? Now, the same report indicated that 900 million adults in low and middle income economies, out of those 900 million adults in low and middle income economy, only 3/4 are using their password to protect their phones, which indeed pose a risk when it's coming to accessing of accounts. No, so you have an account, you have cell phone banking, but how secure is your account? That's a question that you need to ask yourself, because in the world of digitalization, in the world of fast changes in terms of technology, having a technological tool can be an advantage, but it can also be a risk. But now, how do you understand the operation of cell phone banking, for example? How many of you have an account or have a password that cannot be easily guessed, or just have a password on your own? How many of you protect your e-wallet on your phone? Because there are those who do not know that you can even protect the e-wallet that is sent to your phone. There are those who are just open book. You have a cell phone, somebody send money, you give somebody a phone so that the person can make a call, then look at the PIN, then you are done. Or request the PIN, then you are defeated. Because this one is indicating that it's only three quarters which are using their password to protect their phones. And the report did not even go deep to say how complicated is that, or it's just for the sake of you using it. You understand what I'm saying? Or it's just for the sake of using it. How many of us understand how the finance is working, particularly in the digital platform, and also that how we can protect our money? Now, the same FedEx report of World Bank 2025 state that, you know, in sub-Sahara Africa, only about half of 3 million mobile, you know, money account owners protect, you know, their phones using passwords. Then it has to further go to say, in the whole world, women are less likely than men to have passwords. So it says that in the whole world, women, they are not really in, most of women did not protect their passwords, particularly those who are using cell phone banking, or banking apps, of who are using cell phone for their financial transaction. Majority of them, they are not interested, especially in sub-Sahara Africa. How aware is your grandmother on the operation of e-wallet, easy wallet, protection of hair finance? How aware is she? And what is the risk of that if she is not aware? What is the risk of that? Because everything has an advantage, and there's also a risk in terms of that. Now, looking at financial inclusion, looking at digital infrastructure in terms of, in terms of finance, one will also be able to realize to say, although there is a strategy, particularly the strategy by our central bank. Because when we are comparing this to what our central bank has said, especially when they released their financial sector transformation strategy 2025 to 2035, where they indicated that, by 2035, they aim to have 95% rate of financial inclusion at the national level. That it means that almost everybody has access to finance, almost everybody has access to a bank, access to financial transaction, access not only people saving money under their bed or under their pillow, but 95% of the target to be financially included in the financial sector of Namibia. That is, it is ending there. It's ending there. But the question that, we need to ask ourselves, when things like this are happening, how literate, how financially literate are we in terms of using, advanced infrastructure, in terms of protecting our money, in terms of using, do you know that there are still people who do not know how to withdraw money? People of my age who do not know how to withdraw money from an account. You may think I'm joking. There are still people who e-wallet is just something that they are hearing, but they cannot even withdraw money from an account without an assistant of a security. Do you know how backward we are in terms of understanding the basics? Because a security guard at an ATM was not supposed to be there to assist you, was supposed to be there to protect you. Because if you have those with ill intention, they may be able to see, because your private PIN was supposed to be only your private, your PIN only. But just look at this. There are still those people who are banking under their pillow. There are still those people who cannot access or do not know how to withdraw money from their account. Just the basics. That's the basics. Then the question that we're asking ourselves, that what is the relationship between financial inclusion and also understanding how the financial system is working, particularly the new technology such as ATMs, cell phone bankings, and also everything else related to digital infrastructure. Now, if we still have people who cannot withdraw money, what can we do? What can we do? Even depositing money, we are not able to do that. What can we do? So when you start asking ourselves these questions to say, yes, infrastructure, but education must also come along. These are the basic things, because these were things which, you know, when people are in grade 6, they were supposed to be taught these things. When people are doing accounting, they're supposed to be taught these things to say, this is the financial system. When people are being taught economics at high school, this is how the financial system is working. Not just the history of economics, the theories of economics, but the practicality to say, this is how financial institutions are working. This is how digital infrastructure are working. This is what is cyber security. This is how you can protect yourself from the basics. Because had people been taught that, we wouldn't be where we are now. Because that's why we are always communicating to say, yes, financial inclusion, yes, digital infrastructure, but do we have education that is teaching our people how to deal with this? Because other than that, in this morning I was talking about things related to cybersecurity. What investment can we put in our infrastructure? Then Aaron Aindongo, who is a computer scientist, indicated to say we must invest in our own infrastructure, such as data storage and all those things, because at the end of the day, having infrastructure that are not understood will be the longest way to defeat, because we still need to know those things. Having the basic understanding of what is cybersecurity, for example, we've been talking about these things for a very long time, will assist us, particularly when we reach that level. Because in planning, when we want to reach a certain goal, we don't just look at the destination. Are you going to reach that goal in a good and sound mind? Or you are just going to reach that goal for the sake of reaching it? Are we going to do that? Because, you know, the other time I was asking one of the ED, one of the EDs to say, look, yes, you are talking about electrification of the country, where you are targeting 70% by 2030. But did you work out the aspect of affordability? Do you work out the aspect of affordability? Now, yes, everybody look like is included in the infrastructure such as electricity, but is everybody going able to use that electricity? Is everybody going to afford that electricity? That's why we must try to find the balance where we can and how we can assist each other. Because it's one thing to talk about financial inclusion, it's the other thing also to talk about the understanding of operation in that system, or we are still continue to be slavery of that financial system. Dear listeners, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment. You are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. Today, we are looking at financial inclusion and also advancement of digital infrastructure. We are trying to analyze and look at the three reports, actually, two reports and one national developmental plan, that is NDP-6. We are also trying to compare it with the Namibia Financial Sector Transformation Strategy, and also with World Bank FinTech's report on financial inclusion and digital economy. So that is where we are. That is where we are standing. We are asking difficult questions to say provision of infrastructure such as ATM, cell phone banking app. How many of our people understand these things? How many of our people know how to protect their money in their phone, in their laptop? How many of them are able to do that? Why do we still have people? We want to be industrialized by 2030. Let's assume the dream will come true. We want to be industrialized by 2030. But you still have a large portion of the population which cannot access or which cannot use infrastructure which are there. Now, I may look like I'm not telling the truth, but even using elevators, just basic things like using an elevator, we have seen people in the malls which are scared of even going to an elevator. How are you going to advance? Even what to press and where to press, where to go. Just an elevator. We still have people who cannot use Google Map. We still have people with smartphone, but they cannot use Google Map. They just do not know how to use Google Map, but they are on TikTok. We still have people who cannot dial, for example, in drive Wayango. Those basic things that they have to come with technology. Because we used to make jokes about this to say, you know, lack of knowledge can also sometimes put us in trouble. Because you will find a person with who bought a lot of things. Let me say you are in Windhoek, you bought a lot of things from Marua Mall, Avenir, or any other mall that you went to, Groove Mall, wherever you went to, you bought that shopping, let me say for 2,000. Then you get into a taxi. It's night time, you got into a taxi, you have a very expensive phone. Then you are paying a person $13 to be dropped at the Havana 4-way. But had you understood how technology is working, had you understood how digital technology is working, you will be able also to understand the value of the products that you are having. Then you will be able to say, no, instead of me doing this, I have the shopping of 2,000. Let me be strategic enough, because I may lose this because of tzotzis and people who like harvesting what they did not sow. So let me die, Yango. Let me pay this $60. Then I'll be taken home, safe with my value of things. We used to discuss this, you know, when we were at University of Namibia, we used to go with these mini buses. You call them Kalefa. Then I used to tell my friends, especially the ladies, to say, no, we have evening classes, but you must be very smart enough to that your laptop is between 3.5 thousand if you bought it in the street, or 5 thousand if you bought it in the shop. You have that expensive laptop, but you don't want to pay enough money so that you can take it home. Other than that, because we have seen what has been happening, because there used to be those guys who, before the city of Windhoek become smart to have a lot of cameras around, there used to be those people who were grabbing people's phones and laptops. But now, I'm giving this example to say, have we now come to the context of understanding the smart way how technology is working? Instead of us going to critical area and still using traditional means without using advanced technology, we will continue to be behind and we will continue to be in problems. Therefore, today, when we are looking at our financial inclusion and also where we are going as a country, story is very crucial to make sure that everybody is part of the plan. It's always very important to make sure that communiques, government directives are communicated effectively. Private sector communications are communicated effectively, simplified to an ordinary person. Then they will be able to know how to protect their finance, how to access finance, how to work within that space of digital infrastructure. Because if we do not have that in mind, my dear friend, we're still going to to move forward, then the country continues to be fragmented. You have the first class, second class. You have few who understand things, who understand where the resources are, how they are used. You have few who follow, but they don't understand well. And you have those who do not even know where we are going. We are just following where the country is going. Because what we need to do, the same way we are advocating for people to understand civic education, the same way we are advocating for people to say, let us equip ourselves in a world of digitalization. Let us understand where the world is going. Let us understand better ways and best ways of doing things. Now, let us look at cybersecurity, for example. That is something that we have been touching on. Where we are losing, as Africa, we are losing between 4 and 10 billion US dollars every year due to cybersecurity. Either you are hacked, or people, you know, they took your information, there are some way, then they demand finance from you. Either you know, your system is crashed, and many other things. That is where we lose money from there. Now, there was, you know, when I was at the International Cybersecurity Conference, I asked one of the executives at Communication Regulatory Authority to say, yes, you indicated that you were given 20 million between 2001 and 2024 by the Ministry of Information Communication Technology. How much of this money was invested in R&D, research and development? Then you say, no. Unless we are going to look at the money which is coming, because other than that, none of that was invested in research and development. In simple terms, I was trying to say how much of this money was spent on thinking ahead, looking for data, then use the data to think ahead and protect the country. You are running institution who's supposed to protect the country, but you are spending less on research and development. How can we do that? Then you have strategic pillar number 3 at strategic pillar number 11 at it's not a strategic pillar, it's a strategic focus. Yeah, strategic focus number 11 of the Namibia Financial Sector Transformation Strategy, which is looking at cyber security, strengthening of cyber security. And an ordinary person will still want to know, what do you mean when you are talking about strengthening of cyber security or strengthening of cyber security system? Also want to know how many of Namibians are equipped with these skills. We also want to know, what is your investment in that, and how do you make it a priority? How do you advise, you know, even state institutions to be so conscious and understand how the world of finance is working, and also how the world of cyber is working? Because there must always be a plan, and we must look at this thing of evaluation and also accountability. I still want to see a person being held accountable, because this thing of setting a person dream is not a good thing. It's not a good thing. I do not have a problem with an ambitious plan. I just want to see, or I want to be part of something which is practically implemented, then with less excuse. Because I'm sure, and I understood that those who are good at planning, those who are planning for our government, understand that no matter how good the plan is, if you cannot pick carefully and cautiously right implementer, it will not work out. No matter how good the plan is, if you cannot have a backup plan or an alternative plan or something that you can improvise with, because there are always unforeseen circumstances. There are always unforeseen circumstances. That's why you have this thing of risk management and all those things to say, how could I control this? But if we do not have that in our planning, we will continue and continue to blame external forces. which will not wait for you, which will happen anyway. COVID-19 came, all the blames went to COVID-19. 2008, the economic recession. Everything went to the economic crisis. The flood did not come. I mean, the drought came. Everything went to drought. But you were supposed, or it was supposed to operate in the case of, no matter the situation is, I can still accomplish my plans to a certain extent, while also looking at problems which are coming. So, dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment, and we have a few minutes before we come to the end of our program. Today we are talking about financial inclusion in the world of digital technology. How can we assist our people to move on with time? And also, where are we standing as a country? And we are also trying to analyze our NDP6, the global report by World Bank in terms of financial inclusivity, and also looking at Central Bank or Bank of Namibia financial sector transformation strategy, and see how we can navigate this world of complicated financial system. How we can navigate this. So therefore, in that content, with that context, we are indicating to you to say, when we are planning or when we are discussing about issues such as understanding of financial inclusivity or understanding of financial access, let us go down to the people on the ground. Let us go down to the SME operators to say, how do you save your money? Do you have a bank account? What's the difference? Why do you have all the money coming to one account, for example? All the money is coming to through e-wallet. There is no security. It's just an open book. You don't protect your... You find a lot of people are dealing with a lot of money. But there's just no security. That's why financial inclusivity, which is being discussed in Bank of Namibia Financial Sector Transformation Strategy, also discussed in World Bank report on financial inclusivity, and also part of the plan of NDP6. These are some of the things that we should continue advocating for. Because ask yourself this: why are we talking about industrialization if we still have a young person who can still not use an ATM? People who are still running away from elevators in towns. You think I'm lying? They are there. They are Namibians. They don't even want to be associated with that. Because look, go to why the lines at 80. Look, let's see tomorrow what will happen when those who are paid on the 30th are going to line up. Look what will happen. How many? Why there is always a delay? There is still those who do not understand how the machines are working. There is still those who don't understand how to deposit money, how to withdraw money, and all many other things. That's why our people who are at the periphery of the economy, they will still continue to suffer due to lack of understanding, lack of access to those information, and will continue to lose a lot of money. Will continue to lose a lot of money due to that little understanding. That's why we are saying, when you talk about digital infrastructure, when you talk about financial inclusivity, let us not just say people have access to an ATM or people have access to a bank. Let us go down and see how many people understand how these things are operating. How many people have this account? How many people have this account really know the operation of the account? Unlike just having an account, somebody open it for you, but you don't even go there. You just guess how much money is there. There are still people who don't know how to enter into a bank and get their money. They don't know how to do that. So that's why today we talk about that context of financial inclusivity. We analyze and we compare with our ambitions of NDP6, and we also look at what need to be done moving forward, especially when we have this very nice ambitious goal of NDP6, which is building on other plans, which we are not saying they are a total failure, but there are those things that you can see that Namibia is not how it has been in the past 35 years. The developments are there, but much need to be done if you have to speak in a diplomatic way. And business can't be usual. It can't be business as usual as compared to how it has been. And that is exactly where we want to go. So, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to Business and Economics segment. Thank you very much for always listening to. And yeah, so continue listening to Girl FM Namibia. Download the Villager newspaper. Make sure that you download an app. Follow us in all our social media platform, such as Facebook, X, LinkedIn, and also Instagram. So thank you very much for listening. I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Tuma team. That is, of course, Kapate Katoka and Uncle Fly. So for me, David Shombe, thank you and bye-bye for now.